What a man! Let's give my hand a round of applause to our worship team. It is not easy, even though this is their gift and this is their talent, this is their act of worship. It's not easy to come every week, pouring out your heart, even doing new things that's not or non-traditional, but to be able to still do this with the heart that they're offering this to God, and they're leading us in doing that. So grateful for our worship team, our sound crew, the ushers, all the behind the scenes people that when we have all these different things happening on a Sunday service, right? But all these different parts is offering our hearts to God, regardless of what it is, whether it's serving in the children's ministry, whether it's the ushering, the sound crew, even as I'm talking right now, Jeff is still working right now, trying to make things right. You know, all of these things is not because someone told you to do it, or because you're being paid to do it, or someone is watching you. It's because this is an act of worship. And collectively, when we all come together, it's supposed to be our very best effort, right? It's not always going to look the same or sound the same or even work the way we would hope it to work. But it's the heart that we're offering to God. It is our act of service, whether it's our singing, it's listening to those scriptures as the worship team was leading us in communion, just listening to the prophecy and the fulfillment of the scriptures. That is what worship is. It's moving our hearts, bringing us closer to God. And that's what it's all about. So I'm grateful, I'm excited to be up here and being able to talk to you guys. I know those on Zoom are almost there. I know you guys, I can only see your lips moving. I can't hear nothing. It's coming, don't worry. It's coming. Today we do have a special treat, right? Well, obviously we're gonna hear the word of God, but there is a special treat in the end where we're gonna have a presentation done by our combination of children's ministry and our teens and middle schoolers. They all kind of like came together and want to do a little something special for the day. And so we're going to get a chance to see them and be able to enjoy that time. Let's see, get my slide up here. Oh, go back. All right. So today's title is God With Us. God with us. As I was thinking about this for the past week, and I thought about what came to mind was all the different things that God is walking with me in. Because I know right now we're in the holiday season, and it's easy to tell, right? I mean, other than the cold right now, it's sunny out, so it's not too cold out for you New Yorkers. But we look around, and we see the decorations, right? We go to the mall and you see the pretty lights and you see the gifts, you know, and the cashiers are excited to take our money and you know, enjoy us giving all these gifts out. So we see all these things and it's fun, but it could also be distracting. It could also be, a little burdensome, right? Thinking about who, what you're going to get for who, what you're going to get, how can you afford it? All these different things, right? Then we got travel. People are traveling. I'm looking around today. I see a lot of, college students are back home again, right? They were here for Thanksgiving. They left 2 weeks later. They came back, right? And they're here for the Christmas holiday, right? We got family that's in town. We're hosting. We got more turkeys and more apple pies and all the good trimmings happening. So we have all these different things going on because, you know, it's in this time of the year, this is where a lot of stuff takes place. And it's not that those things are wrong in itself, right? But we do have to remember what this time is really about, what it's really about, right? And it's not about what's under the tree. It's not about that at all. It's a profound message that Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going, you know, you heard a little bit, you heard already from the our worship team that read through the scriptures from the prophecy to fulfillment about the coming of our Lord. And he read a couple of scriptures that I'm going to read today, and you're going to get a few more. That's okay. But reminding us of the simple thing, God with us. God with us. You know, I talk about Christmas and I mention how it's all about, you know, these happy times, but it also can be some challenging times too, right? And so God is only with us when we're in joy, when we're experiencing happiness? No, not at all, not at all. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it reads, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. Not God heard of us. Not, you know, God might show up here or there. God with us. I mean, I want you to understand this. The context of when this prophecy was even written, right? This was written over 700 years before Christ even came to be. This was written, actually, the original verse is in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14. And it reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now, this prophecy, when it was given out by Isaiah, he was talking to the king of Judah at the time. And you gotta understand, the Israelites in that time, they were going through some turmoil. Like, how many times have we read through the Old Testament where the Israel weren't in and the people of God weren't in turmoil, that they weren't in some kind of strife or some kind of peril, and that they needed the assurances of God. They needed his presence. They needed his right arm to come and rescue them. And so this time is no different. So when Isaiah said this to him, he was telling him, listen, God is going to deliver. Not only is he going to deliver, he's going to be with us. This is what he's telling them. And it was meant, obviously, to comfort them. It was meant to allow them to understand that God is not absent, that he is right here, very near to us. And so now, when Matthew pens the gospel, and he sees the birth of Christ, he now connects that, you know what, this prophecy wasn't just about the son that was born at that time, it was about Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so when we sing these songs and we reflect, it's not just an idea. It's not a theoretical quote. It is something so real. Think about this. The God of heaven, of all creation, is with us. Not up there in heaven, so far removed from all of the things that we deal with. No, he has come close. And we're going to look at some scriptures that identifies this, that puts this into perspective of where we are with God. What does it mean for us today that God is with us? There's so much uncertainties in life. Isn't that true? We think and we plan for tomorrow with no assurance that it's going to come. We hope for things with faith. But we don't know. We don't control all these elements. We don't control every internal part of our body, that everything is going to work the way it's supposed to work, that every blood vessel is going to make it to our heart, that we're going to get the right amount of oxygen, that the left rib will sit in place and not puncture our internal organs. We don't control none of that. All these uncertainties of life. Today you go to work, you know, just like any other day. And then at the end of the day, you get called into the office and you're told you're being let go. Not because of your performance, because actually you're doing pretty well. But things out of your control is taking place. But God is with us. That's what the scriptures tells us. God doesn't remain distant. He doesn't just stay in heaven and just watches, as some might think. I remember when I was a kid, there was like this image of how God is, right? Where you have this kid with a magnifying glass and there's ants walking around. And then the magnifying glass is just kind of like beaming right on top of the ants. And that was some kind of satire about how God can be. Like, he's just a big kid with a magnifying glass and just kind of, you know, burning up the ants. That's not the God that I see and witness. That's not the God I've been in contact with, because the God I've been in contact with rescues, redeems. Like, this is the God that I know. The fact that he decided to come down, this is good news. This is good news for me. This is good news for you. This is good news for all of humanity, that God decided to leave the throne of heaven and come into who we know as Christ. That's like, just thinking about that, like, Jesus' birth wasn't even with chariots and horses. He came through the Virgin Mary, a human mom. The God of heaven has come down to come through earth to be with us through human flesh. Now, of course, his birth was miraculous, but nonetheless, it was still human in a lot of ways. God with us. God with us. Now, I know Christmas can, you know, it invokes a lot of things. A lot of, you know, the internal desires may make its way up to the surface, right? Many of us will look to the tree on 25th. We're looking for that box, and we're hoping that it's the shape of the things that we desire. Is it the PlayStation? Is it the Xbox? Is it the small box? Because, you know, they say, you know, you get the small box, especially if you're in a relationship, you're like, ooh, I think I know what this is. And you're hoping that for Christmas, you can get a relationship status change, right? You're hoping for, if you're in a relationship, you're hoping for that status change to come under the tree. You may hope and desire for good things. I mean, those are good things too. But you might be in a situation where you're experiencing some challenges in life, and you're hoping that this Christmas will bring some joy that you feel like you're missing, right? Perhaps it's employment. Maybe you're not in a job right now, and you're looking for employment, or even more so. Some of us may be in a season of grieving, right? And mourning. As you know, most of you know, we had a memorial service for our dear sister Barbara last week. You know, I wasn't here Sunday because I was attending my nephew. His mom passed away, and so I was at the funeral with him. And so, you know, this time could also, you know, mark, you know, some times of grievance and mourn. But the scripture tells us, God with us. That's what it tells us. And so when we look at these things, we know that these things in itself isn't wrong, but our God knows what we need. And he knew that we didn't need, you know, more relationship status changes and more wealth. What he understood that this world need was salvation. He understood that we needed to be rescued from our sins more than anything else. And so, our Father, because he's such a good Father, and because he understood the true meaning of what it means to give a gift, he gives us his Son, Jesus, Emmanuel. God with us. What a treat. What a joy. What a gift. A gift that not one of us in this room can ever repay. And not only does God give us this gift, he makes it personal, right? Like Amazon, you see, you think about gifts that you're gonna get, right? Some of us are getting gifts right now, right? Your front porch is being filled with deliveries from Amazon and UPS. Now, God says, you know, when it comes to this gift, I'm not gonna just deliver it through third party. I'm gonna deliver it myself. You know how special it is when someone gives you a gift directly? I mean, it's something to have it in the mail. That's cool. But the intentionality and the personalness of, I'm gonna hand this gift to you. This is what God did. When Jesus was born, this was his way of handing this gift to us, not third party. What a joy. Now, I know Amazon don't like that. They want us to continue to use their prime delivery rate, but God had another way of getting things done. In Matthew 1:28 and verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. As I said, Jesus comes to earth, yes, in a miraculous way, but he came with a purpose: to rescue us from our sins. I think about that because I know how many sins I've committed on purpose and sins I wasn't even aware of. Countless. And yet, he delivers his son as a gift to me. The level of intimacy that it takes for Jesus to be born on this earth, to leave the throne of heaven, to have angels worshiping him all day and night, to leave that and to decide to come on earth. And it's not like he came to earth at 33 years old. No, he came through at just like you and I would have came to this earth. And he endured the things that we would endure in our human flesh. He endured being an infant. Crying for milk. He endured it. Trying to communicate, but mom don't understand what he's saying. Just He endured that. That's what I imagine. I imagine Jesus maybe being going through his terrible twos. Now, I don't know what terrible twos look like for the Christ, but I could imagine him being human in many ways. He said, well, I'm going to go through the stage. I'm going to go through it. I'm gonna give my mom and dad some sleepless nights. I might just do this. I'm going to be with them, not be about them, not distant, sitting on the hill and then giving his directions from there. Nope, I'm going to be with them. Emmanuel, God with us. He came to rescue, because he knew each and every one of us needed to be rescued. Let's look at some examples of God with us. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus chose to touch the man with leprosy. He chose to become an outcast as the leper was. God with us. He chose to step into our mess instead of judging it from the thrones of heaven. He decided to step in our chaos, to understand, to connect, to be intimate with creation. This is God with us. Let's look at another example. In John chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved them?" Even some of the Jews who were against him observed his level of intimacy with his people. Even though Jesus knew he was going to resurrect him, he still found the humanity-ness, the godliness of him to weep with those who mourn. This is a message that should bring us joy in this season, that God is with us. We don't have to perform. We don't have to act. We don't have to put on a mask, because God with us, he's with us. He reminds us that his place is going to be with us. Another example, in John 8, verses 7 through 11, Jesus defends the sinner. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who had heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus shows his willingness to defend sinners. Amazing. A woman caught in adultery, and he's defending her amongst other sinners. Amazing. God with us. Now, is he saying he condones sin? That he's going to co-sign us to continue in our reverie? Continue in our sin? Continue in our transgressions? No. By no means. He told her, stop. Don't sin no more. But before he told her that, he defended her. When I look at this, I see God defending me. As Satan accuses me day and night, hour and hour, minute to minute, he's accusing me. God is with me, defending me. Thank God I'm covered with the blood of Christ, but he defends the sinners. Why? Because he wants that intimate relationship. He doesn't want you know, this what happens sometimes in this season of giving or this holiday season, that it's a show. It becomes a show. It becomes something completely different. And then we put on our mask because it's that time of the year. He doesn't want that. No, he wants intimate relationship, because I'm walking amongst you. I'm not sitting on my throne and just watching from afar. You know, like some of us, you know, sometimes we go to work and we like, man, the CEO knows nothing about what we're going through. Sitting up in the office on the top floor, having no idea what's happening down here. But Jesus reverses that. He goes, okay, yeah, I am the CEO, but I'm gonna go down to the basement. I'm gonna go hang out with the janitors for a while and the parking attendants. I'm gonna go sit with them and have lunch, right? I'm not gonna judge them, because I'm gonna be with them. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put on the janitor's uniform. I'm gonna put on, because I wanna walk amongst them. I wanna be with them. Intimate. Emmanuel, God with us. This is the joy of Christmas. This is what it means when we're gathering around and we're looking at how we can reflect who God is. This is what it is. It's walking with people. It's making those connections. It's shining that light that we have, that God has given us. It's shining that light in those dark places as Jesus did, because he came down to a dark world and he shined light. He shined light in those dark places, especially in my heart and those of us who've made that decision. And again, as I say, all of this is good news. Christmas is not centered around what's under the tree, but the promise that God is with us. That's what it's all about. It's about knowing, believing, and living God with us. What an amazing gift. What an amazing gift. So what do we do? What do we do with this gift? What do we do with this gift that God is with us? We share the truth. We share, as the song says, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. We share it. We don't keep it to ourselves. We share this gift that God is with us to those who are near to us and those who are far off, those who are drifting. Because I've been in some conversations. I've been in some dialogue with some folks that's been drifting. It's okay to drift. But when that truth comes back to you, when that truth is presented, you draw near again. That's the opportunity that you have. You can draw near. You be the light. Jesus came to a dark world and became light. And he shined that light. He never covered it. He never kept it a secret, right? And that light shone in so many ways. He connected to those who were in mourning. He connected to those who were outcast. He did these things, shining light in dark places. This is what we have the opportunity to do, especially those of us who understand, those of us who have made the decision to make Jesus Lord of our life. Even now, in this Christmas season, we still have this opportunity to share God with us, with those who may not understand. To serve. Another way to relive this God with us is serving. Jesus walking, he fed the 5,000, he fed many people, healing, finding ways to utilize his time, time that he knew was limited on earth. The Son of God understood his time was limited on earth. And so he used that time to serve others. What a great time in this season, while many people are out and about and they're buying gifts and their families are coming together. Like, this is a great time that we can serve and allow again the message of God with us to be shown in our actions. Be shown in our giving, be shown in our interaction with other people. This is what it looks like for many of us, and many more ways, and there's many more ways we can do this. But God with us is the message of Christmas. It's not about the gifts underneath the tree. Although it's nice to open up a box here and there, it's okay. But we don't want to lose sight of the birth and the gift that God has given us on this day. And so as I'm about to close out, as I told you guys, we have a special treat today. We have our youth mixed with our teens and the middle schools and the children's ministry. They have a presentation they wanna go ahead and participate in, and we're gonna be able to enjoy that time, right? We're gonna be able to enjoy that time. But as I before I close out there, I have this other thought I wanna put out there as we, you know, come together as family and those of us as visiting, and especially because it's Christmas, right? There's this spirit in the air that we need to go and spend, and we need to go and do these elaborate things, right? So I share this to help us kind of refocus some of all of that. In Matthew chapter 8, let me see if I have it on here. No, I do not. All right, in, excuse me. Oh, actually I do, yeah. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 through 10, it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply an increase in store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." When I reflect on that, I think about all the different ways that God has blessed me, right? I was, you know, me and Shayla was driving into, you know, driving into service today, and I, you know, we were praying in the car, and I was thinking about just the blessing of being a parent with all its challenges, right? Yeah, you know, sometimes the yeah, we go through that. We go through those stages, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a family. It's a blessing to be a part of a faith-based community. It's a blessing that I was saved. It was a blessing that I was called. Forget being saved. The fact that you called me, that it's a blessing. And so as I'm sitting here and reflecting, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, yeah, God, you know what? You have blessed me abundantly. You have, more than I can imagine, more than I thought, more than I deserve. And you bless me, but then you want me to bless others. You expect me to take the blessings and share it with others. Don't harbor it for yourself, because guess what? You're gonna continue to bless me. You're gonna continue to do these things. And so when I reflect on this, I think about all the different ways that these things can apply. Right, it could apply in my servitude. It could apply to how I go about my life, how I interact with people, how I serve, or how I give. All these different places that this reflects. And so as we're coming to a close and we're thinking about all the different ways God has blessed us, right? Let us also think, how can we bless others? Right? Let's try to shift the focus away from us, right? And think about the other person. You probably can't bless 6,000 people, but you could bless one. You can bless one person. You can think about someone else and give to that person. You can do this. So I'm gonna go ahead and